Never tire of doing that which is right. This is What Is TWS podcast, episode 9, I think.
I think 9 sounds about right.
9 sounds about right. It's we had something else planned for this episode that we previously recorded, but with the recent events, we felt it was more important to address what's going on than to
do over.
Yeah, so we'll save that for another day. For a brighter day. As you can tell, I'm in a little bit of a somber mood. I'm really trying to keep myself contained. You know, it's been an emotional
it's a roller coaster of a week.
Yeah, it's been, you know, and there's so much going on and so much, you know, going through my head. But I don't know. So, yeah, obviously, the election. President-elect Donald Trump. That's... It's the major issue right now.
Donald motherfucking Trump. The Donald.
So I know we both have a lot to say, and there's a lot to discuss in terms of that. Sorry if you hear the volume changing, but we are in a new
place, new studio.
New place, new studio.
Shout out to Jay Flan.
we're in the new house right now, and... moved all the equipment. So I think some knobs moved and pause. But so trying to get set up. I know the audio might sound pretty crappy. I think we're echoing a lot.
The new space is nice, though. The new space is nice. Yeah. We're not furnished yet, so we don't have anything really dampening the echo. But new space is nice, so I'm looking forward to the products that we're gonna have here. But
we got some good stuff coming up. We have some more group discussions. Now that we have like a dedicated space that we can do these things in. So yeah, that actually sounds way better. So I don't know why I didn't look at that before we started. But I think, you know, I have a lot to say. I have some people I want to speak to directly. So Terry and Thaddeus, I hope you're listening. But I'm going to go ahead and yield the floor to you, Rich. Let you get whatever you need to get off the chat.
No, I just wanted to rant really quick. I've been seeing a lot of complaining, a lot of lashing out. I know I myself did some lashing out on social media. Not a lot, maybe like one or two posts, and then I immediately deleted them because you know what? It's not going to do anything. It is what it is. It's too much pointing the fingers, too much blaming out there, and the bottom line. What's done is done. You know, we have our new president-elect. So can't point the finger. What I want is basically to shed some light on what's going on and to help people understand what exactly happened. Excuse me. We turned out in low numbers to this election. For all of the people screaming on social media saying, you know, we showed up to the polls, we did our part, showing off their stickers. I don't know if you guys went to the 99-cent store, you picked up your stickers, your homegirl, you know, took a picture with it, then you put it on, then your brother put it on, then your aunt put it on. I don't know, but something like 47% of eligible voters stayed home. Nobody came out. They was like, you know what? My show is on. I'm going to the movie. I saw people posting pictures at the movies. People's at the movies. People's on dates, date night. People doing everything else but voting. It took a couple of minutes out your day. There was even early voting in a number of states. Nobody did it.
Yeah.
You know, and what we really needed, was that millennial vote. That millennial vote, that 18... to 29, 18 to 30, we really needed you specifically to step up, you know, to care, to put enough thought, emotion, and passion into voting. You stand online for Jordans. You stand online for Yeezys. You stand online for a sandwich. Nobody wanted to stand online to vote. Records came out, something like 19%. 19%. Of eligible millennials showed up to vote. 19%.
Yeah, you know, there's a lot I want to say on that. later in this. I said I wasn't going to try to be funny, but I got to bring this point up because I just had this discussion. According to at least one definition of millennials, you are a millennial. Some people set the date at 1982. I just missed it. Thank God. No diss to millennials, but
I've seen a date set at 1982. I've seen a date set a lot later. According to most of the guides, everybody, listen, 18 to 30 is what we're talking about.
Okay.
I grew up in a different era. I'm early 80s, very much hip hop. I don't know. It was a lot of work in my house. I grew up Generation X. So, I mean.
Yeah, I don't know who makes these definitions, but
I don't know who comes up with the definitions. I've always identified with X. These younger kids, this younger generation, I don't know how to get people to be passionate. Like, how do you make someone develop a passion for something? This was a huge cause. And I know you're going to touch on this later. I just have to say this. The amount of people telling me that they didn't vote because their vote doesn't count. Your vote counts for so many things. One, you're voting for president. If you felt like that person is not going to be president, or if you live in a predominantly in a state where another party is predominant, like I live in Texas, for instance, I'm Democratic. I was voting Democratic. I live in a red state. I'm a blue dot in a red state. I already knew what it was. I'm not just voting for president. I'm voting for that percentage to get my party support for the next election. That's number one. Number two,
right.
You're also voting for the Senate. You're also voting for the Congress. You're also voting for local laws, changes.
Judges.
Your vote counts for more than City what the Council. President is.
Yeah.
So for people to spout, oh, my vote doesn't count, this is rigged, the Electoral College. The Electoral College does not control anything on a local level. The Electoral College is not controlling what's happening on your state level.
Right.
So for you to just blindly give that up, do you guys realize what's happening right now? The Republicans have the presidency. They have the Congress. They have the Senate.
We have the House and the Senate. There's nothing.
There's no checks and balances.
No checks and balances.
Everything is going straight through. And I'm sorry I'm getting a little bit loud. I do feel emotional about this. Yeah. I do feel passionate about this because this is our future. This is what we have to live for the next 4 years with the Donald. Like, does no one realize this? Like, you sign and you sit online and you complain. You signed this ticket, like you signed your life away. 4 years. And don't get me wrong. Some things he says, I agree with. Some things are okay. Some of his policy that he wants to enforce. Some things that he wants to change. I think ultimately it was never mostly about him as a businessman. It was him as a person. His values, the things that he believes in, the things that he's supporting, the things that he's been representing.
Yeah.
That's what pushed people away from Donald. I was going to vote for whoever I felt was best. But the things that the misogyny, the sexism, the bigotry, the racism, all of that stuff, like him as a person and what he's representing and what he's presenting, that's what I can't get behind. And the fact that so many people had a chance to make a change and didn't. I can't understand it.
It's disheartening.
19%? Y'all are standing online every week for Yeezys and Jordans, and you couldn't take 15, 20 minutes to vote.
Yeah, I mean, man, you said a lot, Rich. But
I'm sorry. It's just
now, you know. I guess I want to start with saying that I don't want to do the blame game. I don't. If anything, I'm gonna blame myself.
You're right. I don't want to play the blame. You saw my post earlier online. Yeah. It's not about game. game, blame game. It's about reflection now. It's about acceptance. This has happened. This is why it happened. What now?
Right. All right. So I mean, if anything, and I think this is important for everyone right now. If you want to assign some blame, if you want to look back at what could have gone different, again, we have to remember that you don't have to, but it's my opinion that you should remember that the only person you can control is yourself. And so when I look at what happened and when I look at the missed opportunities, I look at my missed opportunities. And I was telling you right before we started recording that the sad fact is that this episode we're doing right now is necessary. I feel like we need to do it for so many reasons. We need to do it because of, you know, discussions I saw people having on Facebook the other night and things that I'm hearing people say. We need to do it, but in all honesty, this is too late. I should have been using this platform to do this before the election. I should have been doing this to try to touch people or explain things before the election. You know, I let the fact that, you know, I tend to not care or not want to care about what anybody else is doing or anyone else's opinions or thoughts. I let that get in the way of me using the platform that I created, that I now have to try to shed some light on things. I turned a blind eye and I let people say whatever they wanted to say and feel however they wanted to feel, whether I thought it was correct or not. I didn't say anything. So now, yeah, I think I feel like I'm taking an active stance. This is hindsight. This is after the fact. But that's all I can do.
I'm definitely glad for it. I made a post about it earlier, and I said the exact same thing. You know, we should have been using our voices. And I said, privilege is not just for the privileged.
Yeah.
You know, we're lucky enough. We're privileged enough to be able to speak to you guys. You know, we're privileged enough to be able to have these conversations. We're privileged enough to be able to have these resources and spread these messages. And just hopefully encourage and impart a sense of passion within you guys, so that way you become impassioned and you know, you're able to think on your own and make better choices, make a choice in general, and contribute.
And I'll start with that. The whole idea of being passionate. And this is where I'm going to disagree with you a little bit, Rich. I think this is one of those elections where it was hard for people to be passionate. You couldn't be. And I understand what you're saying. It's not so much being passionate about the candidates, but being passionate about the opportunity or the opportunity for change or the privilege we have of being able to vote and make our voices heard
and life and the outcomes and our futures.
But I think this is what I had a conversation with my nephew on Facebook about this, because he did vote, but he seemed very disheartened and almost depressed about the process of voting. And what I was saying to him is that this is adulthood. You know, there are many times in adult life where there's a decision that has to be made, and there is no good choice. There is no right mm-hmm. answer. There is no choice you're going to make where you're going to walk away feeling happy about it. But you got to make a choice, and not making a choice is making a choice. You know, sometimes no decision is a decision. And that's, you know, and in a lot of ways, that's what happened. But we can't just participate when we feel passionate. And that's what I'm saying is my mistake before the election. You know, I wasn't passionate about affecting change or changing people's minds. I don't care. Think what you want to think. And so I didn't, I didn't act, which was the same as, you know, moving in the opposite direction. Instead of, you know, pushing people in the direction I thought they should have gone, I did nothing, which allowed more people to go in the wrong direction. So that's what I'm saying. Yeah, part of being an adult, for men, part of being a man is seeing those decisions that you don't want to make, that you may not even care about, but they impact people, and there's a decision to be made, and you as an individual will stand up and make that decision and live with it. You know, you won't just abstain and stand to the side and let life do what it's going to do. You know,
you're going to participate. Agree. Adulthood, it's a full-time job.
It sucks.
There's no breaks. Yeah.
Sometimes you got to choose between walking on a bed of nails and walking through broken glass. Those are the only two out, but you got to keep moving forward. So you got to pick one. And that's what I think happened here. You know, people weren't passionate about it, and so they decided to abstain, which was the same as picking one. You pretty much pick one by not picking one, you know. But yeah, then I also want to talk about what I'm seeing now. I really am struggling with this myself. Like, I'm an angry person. I typically am angry. I don't like most people. I feel negatively about most people. My wife will tell you I'm an angry person. I'm angry. And I try very hard. Most people don't see me angry because when I get angry, I go way too far. So I do my best.
Not to even hit that level.
And so right now, and I'm angry. And I'm hearing people say things and I'm watching people do things. And it is angering me. But I think one of the mistakes we made in this process was learning how to have conversations with the opposition. I'm trying to express to people now, if you believe something and you believe it with a passion, and you're trying to express that belief in a way that may sway other people to see things your way, you're not going to do that by calling people dumb. You're not going to do that by calling people racist. Even not saying that they aren't, but the moment you call someone a racist, they stop hearing anything else you say. That you automatically put them on the defensive. I think, and I said this in other episodes, I think we pushed people, we forced people into a corner. We told them that they were dumb and uneducated and stupid and crazy and racist and bigots. And once we said that, then trying to make them see our point of view was almost pointless. Because now it's, if I change my mind, I'm admitting I was all those things. We backed them into a corner and we forced them. And what I'm hearing people do now is the same thing. I'm hearing people call people racist. I'm hearing people on the other side, you know, show some of that attitude that makes people call them racist. I'm hearing us talk to each other, you know, about who didn't do what and calling people dumb and crazy and you don't understand and you're disillusioned and you... And if you start the conversation that way, you lose your audience immediately. If you honestly are trying to get someone to hear you and to change their hearts, you can't start out with negativity. You can't start out by telling somebody they're dumb or they're crazy. I think I had a great conversation with a Trump supporter today on Facebook. And I'll be honest with you, it took everything in me. Cause like I said, I'm an angry person and I wanted to be angry. I wanted to lash out. Especially with some of the things that were being said, it took everything in me to say, you know, no, you know, I'm not trying to start an argument. I honestly just want to understand your point of view. I want to say what I want to say, and I want to understand your point of view. I'm going to say what I want to say respectfully, and I hope that you do the same. And even when they don't, to say, you know, hey, man, I'm trying to hear what you have to say. If you can just calm it down and talk to me, I will listen. And I think that's what we need to do. We can't, if anything, right now, we need to be together. We need to stand together to do that. That's what didn't happen.
There is unity.
We didn't stand together.
People are so busy trying to be divisive and choose sides.
Everybody's trying to be smarter than everybody else. Mm-hmm. Everybody wants to stand on a soapbox and tell everybody else, look, I know something that you don't know.
Yep.
You're stupid, you know? And that's, if your goal is to alienate people and to get people to be divisive, then that's the best way to do it. Yeah. But if your goal, if you honestly think you know something that other people don't know and you want to educate them and you want to teach them, you can't start out talking down to people, because then they don't hear you anymore. You know, and that's what I'm seeing happen right now. If you have a point, if you're on social media and you have a point that you're trying to get across, be respectful and people might listen. But when you tell people that they're stupid and they're crazy and they're racist and they're misogynist, even if they are, I'm not saying that they aren't. I'm saying that if you're trying to get a point across, it's not the best way to do it. It's not going to work.
No, and I tend to agree. There's no more conversations. Yeah. No one is talking to one another. Everyone is talking at someone. And I'm one of those people. Once you start talking at me, I'll tune out. I immediately go on a defense. I don't want to hear what you have to say.
Right.
But I'm not adverse to having a conversation with anyone. You know, I don't care what the views are. If we're going to sit down here, we're going to break bread, we're going to have a conversation, we're going to speak to one another, man to man, woman to man, whatever the case is, if we're going to sit here calmly, politely, logically have a conversation, you know, exchange words, I'm all for it. Until you cross that point. So you're right. A lot of people, they're just talking to talk at people, and they're trying to shove their own beliefs and values down someone else's throat. And you can't force someone to believe what you believe, to want what you want, to walk in your shoes. Their life is their life.
And I honestly don't even think that people's that a lot of these people, their object or their point is to get someone to accept their beliefs. I think people like feeling superior to other people. And, mm-hmm. and this is an opportunity for me to say I'm better than you. And that's divisive. And that's what we don't need, you know. There are a lot of people that disagree with, you know, how I feel, and I disagree with how the way a lot of other people feel. But I want to understand it, mm-hmm. you know. And the conversation I had with the person on Facebook earlier today, we talking about Black Lives Matter. I think it went well. And what I had to keep saying was, you know, I don't want to argue. I want to understand. I want to understand why you feel the way you feel. And maybe I can help you understand why I feel the way I feel. I think we have to understand that these people aren't crazy. They believe in what they believe as strongly as you believe in what you believe. They're not crazy. They just honestly see things a different way that we're not seeing. Mm-hmm. And if we can show them a little bit of how we see it and maybe look at a little bit of how they see it, we might find some common ground, you know, and change some hearts. But if you put people on the defensive right off the bat, that's not going to happen.
No. No. They're never going to be open to having that dialogue.
To hear what you have to say. And so, yeah, I think... I won't say his name, but I thank that gentleman today for having that conversation with me. I think we're continuing the conversation. He has some more questions that I need to answer when I get a chance. And that's everything that I wanted this to be. I wanted, you know, this podcast, this blog, this website to be about that kind of exchange, to be a place where people could feel safe asking the questions or expressing their opinions and not feel like I was going to tell you you're dumb or you're stupid. Or you're racist, you know. That's what I want this to be. And so, honestly, if you're listening to this and you disagree with what Rich and I have to say, I want to talk to you. You know, I want to start a conversation with you. You know, hit us up on the boards or leave a comment on SoundCloud. If you're listening to this and you know someone who disagrees with me, share the podcast with them. Tell them I really want to talk to them. This is me being my most sincere.
I think we're always open for feedback. I think we're always open to have those conversations.
Like, I want to hear these opposing points of view. I want to understand them. If I really am passionate about defeating them, I can't do so if I don't understand it. I can't change the way somebody thinks if I don't even know how they think. Like you said, I can't force my way of thinking on them. I have to adjust their way of thinking. And so I need to know what it is. And I want to have these conversations. I'm really interested. I'm sorry, I took over your rant a little bit.
No worries. This is what it is. It's a back and forth. Back and forth.
So, yeah, all right. So I guess I'll go into my main point for tonight. Is I wanted to discuss, I promised some young gentlemen that I would explain why your vote counts. And Rich touched on a lot of it, but I'll start at the beginning. All right. So there's this idea that your vote doesn't count because it is not your vote that decides the president. It is the Electoral College. And this is true. It is not your vote that decides the president. It is the vote of the electors in the Electoral College that decides the president. But let's first start with why there is an Electoral College. Well, let's start with the fact that I'll make these disclaimers. Is the Electoral College a flawed system? Absolutely. Does it need to be updated? Does it need to be changed? Does it need to be revisited? You betcha. But does it mean that your vote doesn't count? Not even close. Right. So the Electoral College was originally established to make sure that no one region could decide the presidency. So just because a specific region of the country may have a denser population in another region of the country, that region could not control who was the president of the United States. So the votes were kind of divvied out among the states based a little bit on the size of the state and the population. And so we have these electors, right? And the electors are these aren't like random people. These aren't like, guys in black robes that go behind a curtain or have some sort of ceremony where they discuss who they want to be the president and they push the button and it has nothing to do with you. These people are elected by the different political parties. You know, the Republicans have their set of electors in each state, and the Democrats have their set of electors in each state. They're usually, members of the party, leaders of the party. People are kind of, this is kind of like a thank you, mm-hmm. Years of service, you're a great leader, we'll make you an elector for your state, And so they're different on each state, on each side. So when we vote in the presidential election, the side that gets the majority in that state, so, whatever state, if the Republicans win that state, if more people vote for the Republican candidate, then that means the Republican electors are the ones that vote in the Electoral College for that state. I think in two states, and in most states, it's, you win the state, all the votes go to your side, Republican or Democrat. In some states, they divvy it up, where you don't necessarily get all of mm-hmm. the votes that could be split up. But I think there's only two states to do that. All right, so then we come to this thing where, we voted, the state, Texas, we voted, more Republicans or more people voted for the Republican candidate. So the Republican electors are the people who placed the votes for Texas in the Electoral College. Now, how do we know they don't just go in there and vote for whoever the hell they want to? How do we know that they vote for who the state voted for? Well, one, if the state voted Republican, then it's the Republican electors that vote in the Electoral College. Mm-hmm. They have a vested interest in getting their candidate in office.
Exactly.
So the Republican electors would naturally vote for the Republican candidate, which is what the state voted for. So, in just a logical sense, that should work, right? But let's say that doesn't happen. Well, let's say there is a such thing as a faithless elector. And that's an elector who decides, I don't care what my state, chose. I'm going to do what I want to do. Well, the Supreme Court made it constitutional for the parties to have punishments for people doing that. It is, they're pledged to vote with what the state decided. And the Supreme Court has said it's constitutional for you to punish a faithless elector for not adhering to that pledge. Two, these aren't these aren't nameless, faceless people. In the entire history of the United States, we've had 176 faithless electors. So again, those are people, members of the Electoral College mm-hmm. who did not vote the way they were pledged to vote. Right, we had 176. 71 of those were because the candidate for whom they were supposed to vote died before the Electoral College placed their votes. So I think we can understand that, right? The other 105. They're on record. You can see it. I think in 1836 there were 23 from the state of Virginia who decided to vote against the vice presidential candidate because he had a public interracial marriage or a public interracial relationship. So then the vote ended up, it became a tie for vice president, and the Senate decided that one, which is one was another reason why your vote does matter. Let's say the Electoral College doesn't work out. Let's say somehow it ends up in a tie. It
goes down the line.
It goes to the Senate. The Senate then, and the Senate is not elected by the Electoral College. The Senate is elected by a popular vote. So, but I saved that for later. But again, like I said, 100 and however many faithless electors, you can go see their names right now. You can go run down a list of who these people are. Like I said, they aren't, you know, people in black hoods, you know, doing some sort of satanic ritual to elect your president. These are people that you can find, you can touch, you can see them. I think Minnesota was a state that allowed allowed the votes to be private. You wouldn't know who voted for what. And then in 2004, they had a faithless elector. So you know what they did? They got rid of that. They said, now, you know, the votes are public. We got to know who said what. We got to know who voted which way. So these are people that you can touch, you can find.
Mm-hmm.
And again, in the history of our country, in all the Electoral College, 176, 71 were because somebody died, 23 were in 1836, you know, because of some racist bullshit. And then the other 100 and so forth spread across those years, maybe one here, one there, two there, and you can see them. The Electoral College, faithless electors have never changed the outcome of the presidential election. They have never. They have never changed the outcome.
Yeah, you need a whole lot of
people to go rogue, and there's no logical reason for them to do it. And there's penalties for them doing it.
So basically, all you people trying to sign this petition on Facebook to get the electors to change their vote,
right.
Rogue One is not going to do it.
You're asking Republican electors to vote for Hillary, is what you're doing. That's the only way it will work, is if people who are pledged to vote for Trump, because they're Republicans, these are members of the Republican Party, they would have to decide to go rogue and vote for Hillary.
Not going to happen. They loathe Hillary. They hate her with a passion. So that's not going to happen.
But again, like I said, let's erase everything I just said. The Electoral College is bogus. It's fucked up. Your vote for president don't count. Like I said, Electoral College ends in a tie. Who decides the president? The Senate. The Senate is elected how? Popular vote. When do you vote for senators?
When you vote for the president.
You vote for the president. And then we have another one coming up in 2 years. So if you think your vote didn't matter now because this was a presidential election, in 2 years, when it's Congress up again, it matters then. And right now, he has no opposition. He has no opposition. No. Like you said, we got a Republican president.
No checks and balances.
We got a Republican Senate, and we got a Republican House. And then we got an open seat in the Supreme Court. So he gets to put whoever he wants in there because he got no opposition. We saw how Obama could not get his candidate in because Congress wouldn't allow it. Donald Trump's not going to have that problem. So we didn't just miss out on a president. Like you said, we missed out on the whole thing.
Yep.
And we got a chance to do something about it in 2 years. But you have to believe your vote counts.
And that's the thing. How do you get people to be passionate? How do you get people to care?
I don't even want them to be passionate. I want them to be adults and make Touché. A decision. And make a decision.
At bare minimum,
at bare
you
minimum,
should be an adult.
Be an adult.
You're right. Passionate. You're right. You know what? When you put it like that, you're absolutely right. Be an adult.
Be an adult. Make a decision.
It's a job.
Make an unpopular decision. Make a decision that you don't feel like making, but because it needs to be made.
Very true. I can get behind that one.
So yeah, I'm gonna be more vocal. I'm gonna talk more. I hope my brothers-in-law were listening. And if you have any questions, feel free to hit me up. Sorry about it. I gotta open an energy drink. It's getting late.
I think that's gonna be my slogan next election. Be an adult. Vote.
Be an adult. Adult life sucks, man. It sucks.
Listen, you gotta make choices that you. don't want to make. Like today, I had to make a choice. Do I want a brown belt? Do I want my camel color belt? Either way, I had to wear a belt. It's a tough choice. I made it.
But yeah, I you know, as confusing as that was, I know I was probably all over the place. I hope that does something for people and this idea that your vote doesn't count. You know, and please, and if you don't, and I'll say this, if you don't want to vote, that's you. I respect that.
It's your personal opinion. Personal opinion. It's your personal feeling.
It only bothers me when you start trying to convince other people.
Spreading it like a disease.
If you don't want to vote, I'm fine with that. You don't have to vote. I believe that people died for you to have the right to vote, not so that you were forced to vote. You know, I believe that people died so you had the option. And if you don't want to exercise that right, that's your choice. I'm just, don't go out there telling other people that they're, you know, they somehow don't understand something, or they're uninformed, or it's the Illuminati, or any of this kind of stuff. You know, have your personal thought and roll with it. And I can't be mad at you for it. I'll also say that I'm everywhere right now. I've had too many energy drinks, but
this is one of those topics where you almost really can't wrap your mind around it. It sends your mind into so many different directions, and you just rant forever.
But I think you'll hear this from me a lot on the podcast, because as I get older, the stuff my mother said to me means more to me. But this is what she used to give me when there was she would say it to me when we were talking about religion, but I'm going to use it for the election. So if you believe your vote doesn't count, I believe my vote does count, right? If you're right and my vote doesn't count, then on Tuesday, I wasted 15 minutes of my time. That's what happened. If you're right and it didn't count, then that's what happened. I wasted 50. It took me about 15 minutes. I didn't vote on Tuesday. I voted a week before, but a week ago, I wasted 15 minutes of my time. If I'm right and your vote does count, then you wasted an opportunity to change the world.
Mm-hmm.
Which one would you rather risk? If I just gave away 15 minutes, I'm good. Life goes on. But can you really, you feel good about taking that opportunity? Yeah, taking that chance?
I know I don't.
I'm going to leave it at that. I'm done. I'm off my soapbox.
Barstool.
Barstool, yeah. We up on these bar stools with a stool. The table is beneath us.
But I'm inclined to agree. I'd rather spend the time. If it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out. But you never know. You know, you miss 100% of the shots you don't take.
Exactly.
You know, and we had to take this shot. And once again, for several reasons. You're voting for the president, voting for the House, you're voting for the Senate,
you're voting for judges, voting
for your local judges, you're voting for sheriffs, councilmen, sheriff. So it's
school board.
And so I think that's what bothers me the most about people not voting and saying that, well, I know my pick for president isn't going to be picked because of the Electoral College, so why vote? You don't understand the process. You don't understand everything else that's going into this. And I think that's what makes me so upset. That's what bothers me. And the fact that you don't know means, if you don't know enough to know what you're voting for in the first place, why are you formulating such strong opinions? How do you formulate such a strong opinion on president, but don't have an opinion on anything else? So now at this point, are you really vested in this person, or are you riding coattails and invested in what the media is saying? That's a whole nother conversation.
And I said this to you before we started recording, that the whole argument to me, I keep saying this is the last thing I'm going to say, but like I said, too many energy drinks. I drank a whole red line.
Yeah, I don't know how you did that.
That's it. But shit, what was I gonna say?
Red line.
Oh, red line. Oh yeah, okay. But yeah, it seems like this whole argument about votes not counting or abstaining. If that's the stance you want to take, my vote doesn't count, or I'm not passionate about it, so I'm gonna abstain from participating. Then give me. And if you want to encourage other people to do the same thing, so if your voice isn't going to be heard this way because you don't believe it will be heard, or you don't believe it's worth voicing because you're not passionate about it, then show me another way that you're making your voice heard. If you don't want to participate in the vote, that's fine. But what else are you doing? What are you going to do in place of that? What are you bringing to the table? Are you just saying you're going to sit out a life and you're going to sit out and just let whatever happens to you happen to you? Or are you telling me that because you don't think this is real, you're going to do this thing over here that's real? I want to hear the other thing, the thing over here. Mm-hmm. If you're going to sit out this, if you're going to abstain from this, then tell me what else we should be doing. What should we be doing? That's what I want to hear. Don't just tell people not to vote because it doesn't count. Say, don't vote because it doesn't count, but do this. And I'm not hearing to do this. And that's what I'm asking. I honestly want to know. Like, I know right now because my energy level is like on 15, that I sound like I'm angry or I'm mad at you. I'm not. I'm curious. I really want to know. I really want to understand. And if you're willing to talk to me, I'm willing to talk to you.
I agree. You can't discourage people and not have a solution.
Give me an alternative.
You also can't discourage people and then sit down and fucking complain.
Facts.
And that's the other thing that's bothering me. The droves of people who did not vote but are online saying, oh, I can't believe he won. Because of you. You can't complain about something that you had no part of. That doesn't make any sense. You're going to come home and go to Thanksgiving dinner and it's like, oh my God, are we having chicken again? Did you get up and cook a turkey? Did you volunteer to make a roast beef?
Yeah.
Then shut the fuck up.
So I'm going to vent a little bit. I'm going to say some of the things that have been on my mind. And I haven't been saying because I don't want to call people stupid. I'm not going to call you stupid, but I'm going to say some things. So my thing is to anybody who was like, you know, I'm not passionate about either candidates, I'm not going to vote, then run. You don't like who's running? You run. If you're not running, then pick one of the people that are, you know?
Mm-hmm. And I know we've been talking a lot about Trump. I just want to make this disclaimer again. I'm not a Hillary fan. I wasn't a Hillary fan.
I think we've said that.
Yeah, I just got to make sure. People, the minute you say something about Trump, they automatically assume you're in Hillary's camp. She's done her shit too. She's done her shit too. If I could have voted for Obama again, and I'm probably going to catch flack for that one, I'd have done it.
Yeah.
Because it's oh my God, both of them.
Yeah.
I didn't want either one.
I'm going to switch directions on you real quick, Rich. I listened to the Taxstone podcast today, which I thought was he did a Trump episode.
Yeah.
And I thought it was a really good episode. You know, Combat Jack was on there, and I forget the other gentleman's name, but they brought, I didn't make it all the way through the episode, I was at work, but they brought up some really good points, and some really good suggestions for what we need to do, or what we could do, as an alternative to participating in this system, you know, and one of the things I want to bring up with you, is I think we should do it. They talked about how in some of the other ethnicities or some of the other nationalities, they band together and buy property. They get 8 or 9 people together.
That was my,
go buy a building.
That was my other thing. I posted.
And then buy another building. And then buy another building. Yeah, that sounds like an absolutely dope idea.
I posted this earlier. Where is it? I posted this online.
I want to spread that. I want to spread that idea. Get a group of people together, pick the one that got the best credit, get your money involved, and buy some property. Let's own some stuff.
And you know what? I agree. You know, we used to have Black Wall Street.
Yeah.
We all know how that ended up happening.
They burned
it. Don't know how it ended up happening.
They burned it.
Burned it to the ground.
With the impunity. No punishments whatsoever.
They did not want to see that. It was too... we got too successful.
We got too successful.
We had our own shit. We flew too close to the sun. And it said, you know what? You want to fly into the sun? We're going to give you some heat. Burned it down.
Burned it down.
That's what we need to do. We need to use our buying power. We spend so much money investing in others instead of investing in ourselves. And I've had this conversation so many times. I've read this conversation online so many times. Every day, somebody gets excited. They think that they're the first person who had this idea. You know what? We should bring Black Wall Street to life again. Let's buy property. Let's open stores. Let's open shops. Like, you know, let's use our money for good. Let's invest in our neighborhoods. And then it's over. Change is not a part-time job.
Full-time.
Change is not fly by night. Yeah. You need to stand by your convictions. You want to make change happen? Make it happen. It starts with the conversations just like these. Have the conversation. Have a plan. Put a plan into motion.
I'm dead ass serious, Rich. Like, I believe in what we've done here, and I think we're doing good things here. And I'm the more we build it, the more excited I get. Like you said, we're investing in ourselves. Mm-hmm. We're putting our money into our ideas and trying to grow something and make something real. Let's get some other people involved. Let's get some property. Let's get a farm. You know, so that's one of the things they suggested. That's mm-hmm.
I'm on board with that. Something that's gonna give back. Something that's gonna grow.
Shout out to Taxstone, man. Mm-hmm. I learned a lot on that podcast today.
Let me tell you this: a dream written down is a goal. And I think you told me this one.
It's on the site.
Written down is a goal. A goal with steps is a plan.
Well,
a plan backed by action makes a dream come true.
There we go.
That's all you got to. It starts with the dream. That's the process.
Yeah, and I get so much positive feedback when I talk to people about this, because the first thing they say is, "You're doing it." Like, it's so dope that you're actually doing it. That you didn't just mm-hmm. stop at the "I have an idea." That you went past the "I have an idea." And actually are doing it. And so if you have an idea, and I'll tell you that I told you, Rich, my inspiration for all of this, my reason that I'm pushing so hard for this is because I want my daughter to see that it's possible, that you can, mm-hmm. that you can want something, you can think of something, and you can make it real. You know,
I agree.
That it's worth trying, even if we fail. You know, we got this far. We did this. This is real. They can't ever take this away. They can't ever say we didn't have a podcast.
I agree. And for some reason, too, you know what? It makes me think of MLK. One of the most popular lines, "I have a dream." I have a dream. And he set his dreams in action. He put action to that. Nowadays, nobody wants to take action. Faith without works is dead. Everybody wants to dream. Nobody wants to put in the work. They settle for what's in front of them, and then they get mad about what they don't have. Faith without works is dead. Create a dream. Write it down. Create a plan. Put some action behind it and make your dream come true.
So I'm going to say this, Richard, because with this entire podcast, I want the focus to be on positivity, unity, and what we can do now. So I'll say this. I want the White Pants Society to be a dream factory. If you come, I don't have a lot of money. I don't have any money. Let me not say I don't have a lot of money. I'm broke. I got negative money. But I got passion, and I want to see myself succeed. And other people succeed. If you bring a dream to me, if you got a dream, I'll do whatever I can to help it be a success. I'll help you plan it out. I'll grind with you. Let's come up with as many things as we could possibly do.
And that's the start. That's the start. The conversation is the start. The dream is the start. See, the issue is, and I'm going to reiterate it, don't let it stop there.
I'm saying bring it.
Keep that fire. Let's roll with it.
Bring it here. Bring it here. Bring it to TWS. Bring it to the White Pants Society. And I will, I'll help you make a step.
Black Wall Street can live. Yeah. Black America can thrive.
This thing started with a step. I bought a domain. And we kept going.
Bought a domain.
Bought a mic.
Had a dream. Had a dream we wanted to talk to the people.
Hey.
Bought a domain.
Bought a microphone.
Bought some hosting space. Bought a microphone.
Bought a mixer. Bought a... Looking at all this shit.
Step by step, it comes together. Bought some software.
Yeah.
Investing in ourselves.
So I'm not saying I can make dreams come true, but I'm saying I will get behind anybody. Anybody that's trying to do something, involve me, and I'll do it, whatever I can. And in that vein, I want to shout out Tavares Taylor Charities once again. I'm saying again because on the episode that was supposed to be this episode, I talked about Tavares Taylor's charities. But I'm going to bring it up on this episode, which is, again, even though it's the first time I've ever said it on the podcast, if that's not confusing enough. But ttcharities.org. It's a brother I know we worked at the White House together. Very positive. If there's, you know, if there's people in need of help, he's always there. They do. And I don't have it in front of me. On the other episode, I was much more informed. But I know they do suit drives for young men to be able to wear, you know, professional attire to wear to interviews. I donated for a campaign for haircuts for children to start the school year. I also donated when they were trying to raise money for the people who were displaced from that condo fiasco in Maryland. And I plan to donate again. I think right now, if you donate, and hopefully this is still true when we put this up, but if you donate $50, he will send you two tickets to that after Museum of African American History.
Pretty dope.
Yeah, pretty dope. So I kind of need to do that so I can get some tickets. My mother went. She said it's a lot to take in. She said it's, you know, it's hard to even do in one day, but they have it's a lot there. But yeah, ttcharities.org. You know, let's make this grassroots. Let's support them. Let's not make these people have to go out and find corporate sponsors so you can call them a sellout. Let's take care of each other. Let's take care of ourselves. ttcharities.org.
Nice.
And I'm out. No.
Mic drop, though it's mounted to the corner of the table.
All right. So, yeah, man, I feel better. I feel
better. I definitely
this
do, too.
This was cathartic.
I definitely do. It was, like I said, it was a lot on my mind. It's mostly, just had to get that out. Got a lot of facts here about the election. We don't really need to run through all of them. I just can't get over that 19%. 19%. And a lot of these figures are like, they could have been better.
And like I said, I leaned away from the mic. Like I said, I'm going to take personal responsibility. I think everybody needs to take personal responsibility. I don't want to point the finger anymore. It's my fault. I didn't do what there was more I could have done to change those numbers, and I didn't do it.
47% of eligible voters stayed home.
And so next time I will do those things, because the only person I can control is me. So I will do more next time around to change those numbers. And I think if we all look inward and look at what we could have done individually to change this outcome, we can actually get something done. If we keep trying to point the finger and tell everybody else what they should have done, I don't know. I don't know if that's going to work. So I'll take personal responsibility on that. I'll say that was my fault. And in 2 years, or starting now, I'm going to do a lot more to change that number. Do everything I can for my daughter's sake.
It's all for you.
My sweet pea.
So... It's a thought. I've been reading about all of these issues in the wake of the, I guess, the presidential, in the wake of Trump being nominated, or I guess being announced as the president-elect. I'm not sure if you've heard about it. You probably have. All of the protests going around.
Yeah.
Some of them... have been quite violent, which is BS. And you're just feeding into the propaganda. You're giving them a reason to feel the way that they feel. And it's bullshit going on both sides. I've seen people drag Trump supporters out of their cars, hitting them, punching them, beating them up, all in the name of Hillary Clinton. I've seen some pretty racial shit going on the Trump side. I saw a video earlier today. It was a middle school. At this middle school, where was this middle school at? Royal Oak Middle School in Michigan. Middle of the cafeteria, all of the students are chanting, build the wall, build the wall, build the wall. Middle school children chanting, build the wall. And all you see is just the groups of Hispanic and Latino children crying, scared, because their peers, their friends before this date are all chanting, build the wall. Kick them, essentially kick chanting them to kick them out.
Yeah.
You were just my, we were just playing together. Now you are chanting, teenagers, young teenagers, preteens, chanting for their friends to get kicked out of school, to be deported.
It's
that's breeding hate.
I don't even think our focus needs to be Trump. The sad part about Trump, because here's what I think. Here's what I hope. That Trump was a smart enough man that he looked at the math, he looked at the numbers, and he realized, I don't need the black vote. I don't need the Latino vote. If I pander to this specific group of individuals, there's enough of them that I can win without all of that. And that's what he did. He said what he had to say to get that group behind him, and they came out in droves and did it. You know, if you look at the numbers, those of us that did vote, we voted, you know, overwhelmingly for Hillary.
Yeah.
We had no chance. We were outnumbered. We had no chance.
Our numbers were nowhere near.
So, and that's my hope, is that he did what he had to do to get elected. You know, he ran the numbers. He marketed himself to the correct demographic so that he could win. And now he's in there, and he doesn't really believe those things he said. That's a pipe dream, you know. I have to hold on to that hope and think that maybe that's what actually happened. But the scary thing about Trump is not him. It's the people he stirred up. It's the people that are now, you know, have no fear.
Yeah, the all of the rhetoric, and then the people whose voices he legitimized.
He's legitimized, yeah.
Made it okay. There's another figure. Out of all the votes that were cast, 70% were white. That remaining 30%, the black, Latino, Asian, and other mixed.
So that's what I'm saying. Like, he
70%, and they came out
in droves.
In droves, like, they were not playing. 70% white. White males accounted for 34%. All the majority of Trump. And don't get me started on the anybody 65 and up. Trump.
I mean, that's he Trump. He did, like I said, he did the math, man. He did the Trump. Math. He looked at it. That's what I'm gotta believe. He did the math.
Listen, you're not gonna be here tomorrow. Vote for me today. Literally.
Yeah, I don't need the black vote. I don't need the Latino vote. I know the people. If I get these people, I got enough. And that's what I gotta hope. The number I wanna talk about is I think the number was 65. 65% of voters decided which way they were going to go before September.
Yeah, they were. Right.
So I'm saying, these debates,
they didn't do nothing.
People, you know, this was as divisive. Is divisive the word? I don't know.
Probably.
We'll go with it. This was as divisive as an election as you can possibly get.
Yeah.
People had already chosen sides, you know, months ago.
Yeah, there was nothing you could say.
There was nothing you could say. It was just, this was done.
But like we said in the beginning, it is what it is, and we're here now.
We're here now. I knew, so, you know, I went to sleep that night. I went to sleep that night, you know, not in the greatest of moods, but I knew I was going to wake up the next morning.
Disappointed.
I was going to go to work. I was going to do my job. I was going to get back to this podcast, to this, you know. I buried myself in work. My daughter smiled that morning. She was happy. She don't know what's going on. You know, that was enough. Your life is going to continue. It's not over. I think I saw, you know, an 18-year-old doing an interview saying, you know, this feels like the world is coming to an end. You know, we survived. And that's what I said in my blog post, that, you know, our track record for perseverance and survival is unmatched. You can't beat it. It's immaculate. We're gonna make it because we have to, because there is no other option. We will make it. We will survive this. We will come out better for it. That's what we do. So I'm good. I'm encouraged. You know, I feel good. There's a challenge ahead of us, and we always meet them. We always do. Why? Because we have to. Mm-hmm. Because we have no other choice. So we're gonna be fine. Everything's cool.
So, and speaking of being fine, and speaking of now what, did you read Trump's plans for his first 100 days?
Sadly, I did not. Once again, I didn't care enough, and I got to correct
that. I think I sent you the link.
You probably did, Rich. I don't doubt
that. Yeah, so first 100 days.
Yeah.
Obamacare.
Gone.
Gone.
It's gone. Yeah.
Replacing it with Trump Care.
Trump Care?
Trump Care. I don't know if that's going to be the official name.
What's that? You can get your
running name.
Casino chip.
Huh.
So you that, try your luck.
People will take it.
Yeah.
So Trump Care. Basically, Obamacare is gone. Biggest changes. The fact that Obamacare forced medical coverage for everyone, even if you had
pre-existing
conditions, out the window. Done. Gone. Pre-existing condition. Too bad. No, we can't help you. You coming out of pocket? Nope. We can't help you. That and Obamacare gave everyone tax credit. Didn't matter who you are, you got this credit. Not anymore. We're doing a tax deduction. Is it a tax deduction? Yeah. So basically, it's going to run off of a percentage. So if you make $30,000 a year and you're getting that 20% back, if that's going to be whatever the figure is, fine. You get 20% off of your $30,000.
Yeah.
You're a multimillionaire. You brung in $500 million this year. You're going to get 20% of that. So it's not even across the board.
Yeah.
You know, so once again, the big guy gets paid. And he's writing half of his crap off anyway, so it's
I didn't focus on it, and I need to. I need to educate myself about what these policies are going to be, and I haven't. So, you know, I can't really speak on it because I don't know enough. I'm not informed.
Another one, which I'm not necessarily against, the putting a limit on how many years politicians can be in office. You know, no life stints in the House, no back-to-back consecutive terms in the Senate. No, we cap it off. We're done. President gets 2 terms. He gets 8 years. You know what? You get a limit, too.
Yeah.
I'm not necessarily against that. You know, I feel like once in a while, it would be good to have some new blood in there. Would it suck if we had somebody who was a true advocate and he was just doing a good job? Yes. But hopefully they've imparted their wisdom enough to bring somebody, and they've brung somebody under their wing, and we just constantly have room for growth. You know, fresh ideas, fresh energy, and just continuously have a great fight on the Hill. So I'm not necessarily against that. He wants to clean up the corruption. I don't know how that's going to happen. So he has a lot of plans for his first 100 days. I don't know how he's going to pull some of this stuff off. I know Obamacare is gone in day negative six. Everybody's voting for that one. So that's not even a thing. Apparently, he thinks this whole ozone thing too.
Global warming is a myth.
Global warming is a myth made up by China. He said it. I don't. Made up by China. I'm
holding on to that hope that he said what he had to say. I'm holding on to that for now. We'll see.
Like I said, it is what it is. Everything has happened. For now, all I can do is hope for the best.
Hope for the best.
And no matter how much you guys hate this man, you got to get behind him. You got to get behind him. To a certain extent, you got to get behind him. If you didn't think your vote mattered, if you didn't think your decisions mattered, if you didn't think your action mattered, it matters now. He's in office. It matters. In 2 years, when it's time to vote again, make it count. While he's in office and all of these things that he was promised aren't going through, speak out. Take action. You know, don't just sit there like, oh, I'm screwed. Like, you can't complain if you're not doing anything.
Got to participate. Yeah, I'm not going to say back him. I'm not going to go that far. I'm just going to say, you know, I need to get informed. I would suggest to anyone else, you know, get informed. See what's coming. Don't let it blindside you. And do what you can. You know, make your voice heard. If you don't like it, you know, make your voice heard. Use the outlets that you do have. If you feel like your vote doesn't count and that's not where your voice can be heard, well, then find another outlet. But don't sit idly by. We can't do that anymore.
Be an adult.
Don't be a middle schooler.
No. Speaking of, that's the one I forgot. This, what was it, University of Oregon? I think it was the University.
The blackface thing?
I saw. Did you see that?
I saw
that. What the hell? That was, University of Oregon. Group of kids standing outside of the school, covering themselves in what looked like to be oil, paint, whatever. Just covering all their face, arms, legs. Doing blackface. What is the world coming? And this is the part that bothers me all the time. The amount of people who justify it in the comments kills me. Why? Logically, why would you think that that's okay? I don't get it. But
and that's what I'm saying. We need to have these discussions because we need to hear that why, because you can't. I don't believe we'll be able to change that mindset if we don't understand the mindset. Yeah. If we don't hear what it is, what creates that, you know, what's the reasoning behind it? Is there reasoning behind it? But we need to open the door for people to be able to say it. And I guess the door is open there. So we're gonna hear a lot. And I'm asking people, and this has been the thing for me today. Today, I told my wife when I got in the car, I was so angry at my desk, you know, having this conversation on Facebook with this gentleman. And yeah, I was on Facebook at work having conversations. But I was so angry. It was for research
purposes. And it's not a regular thing.
But I was shaking. Like I haven't been this angry in a long time. And it's taken everything out of me to quell that anger and to not lash out so that, you know, I can continue these conversations. Because I know if I lash out, then like I said, you know, we create that defensive. And then now we're not talking. We're not exchanging ideas anymore. We're not understanding each other. We're just yelling at each other. We're just typing hurtful things back and forth. And so it's taking everything out of me to maintain an even keel. And I want to say shout out to my wife. You know, I love you to death, Tammy. And she's the reason. She's the reason that I do this. And she's the reason that I'm able to remain calm, because when I leave out of this, I'm gonna call it a studio. Fuck it. When I leave out of this studio and I go home, I get to take the friendly man mask off and I get to vent. I get to say all the hateful, evil shit in my heart. And my wife just sits there and like nods and smiles and takes it. You know, I'm not saying evil shit toward her, but I'm saying evil shit all the times where I want to call people dumb, but I'm saying don't call them dumb. I get to
you
say,
get to go home and say, you know what? These motherfuckers,
these ignorant ass sons. Yeah, you know, I get to get it all out, and she, you know, she allows me to do that. So, thank you, Tammy, for
shout out to being able to speak your mind. That's definitely something that I like about my relationship too. Yeah.
That's what I'm saying, ladies. You gotta let your man, like, it's difficult.
Get it off your chest.
It's difficult. We gotta put a, you know, especially, I wanna say especially black men, we gotta put a mask on when we leave the house. Like
corporate IT? Oh man, it's brutal.
We gotta put a mask on every day when we leave
smiling
the house.
Smiling not all day.
We gotta smile. We gotta be strong when we don't wanna be strong. You know, sometimes you need to be able to come home, take off the Superman cape, take off the mask, be vulnerable, be scared, be weak. Be angry, be whatever it is, and let it out. And I'm thankful that I have a wife that allows me to do that. And it is a blessing. Yeah. I don't know. So, and I think, you ready to wrap it up?
Yeah, I feel better.
Feel better? I feel better too.
I don't know.
I didn't even eat any of my Doritos.
Huh? Yeah.
I got a whole bag of Doritos.
Kind
of
hungry too. I wonder what's for dinner. I didn't cook. I don't think Renee cooked.
I don't know.
It's probably going to be a takeout night.
I might have to ask you to stop past Wendy's or something.
It's one of those nights. I don't really have much in the way of closing comments. Just being a dope.
I just want to say, I love all of you. Peace and love and happiness.
Peace, I wish, love, and soul.
And soul. I wish everyone the best. We're going to make it. Yeah, we're going to make it through this because we have to. I'm encouraged. I'm happy. I'm excited about the challenge. So let's move forward together. That's all I got to say.
And we're up.
All right. Peace.
Later.